Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you. We're still in the morning, half an hour left, and we'll get this message in this morning. We're into our next series, which is exciting, and we always like to start off. It's called Jesus, the Cornerstone. So cornerstone is not something we still use commonly in terms of buildings, but in major buildings, they have what they call, they'll have ceremonial cornerstones. And so the concept of cornerstones is still prevalent amongst those in architecture and construction. And we see here, this is a cornerstone that actually ties Taipei to New York City. Because back in 2004, the Taipei 101 was the tallest building in the world. But the expectation was that the next tallest building in the world, the one that would supplant Taipei 101, would be the Freedom Tower. And so in 2004, they put down the cornerstone, what was meant to be the cornerstone for this building, for the Freedom Tower. And they were expecting that 2006, they would start construction and it would be done and be the next tallest building in the world, supplanting Taipei 101. However, a bunch of things happened. They got plans rejected. And so it wasn't built too much later. And this cornerstone was actually never used. But there it is. So this is the official laying of the cornerstone in 2004. And now that cornerstone is out in the countryside somewhere. It got lost for a bit. And then they found it again. And they made it in a memorial park. But that's our tie. A tenuous one at best between New York City and Taipei. I think Terry and I are a better tie than this cornerstone. But it just shows the emphasis and the special place that cornerstones have in construction, in the making of a building. So they built this, they hewed this special cornerstone as a starting point, the first piece of the first step in the construction of this Freedom Tower. And that's what Jesus is for us. He is the first piece in our lives. And so as we've gone through this series on building blocks of life, faith, hope, and love, today we're going to start another series on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And we're going to unpack why Jesus Christ, what does it mean? When we say the word cornerstone, what does that mean? What is a cornerstone? And then the second thing that we have is, what is my cornerstone in my life? What does that look like? And then third thing we're going to look at is, now how do I make Jesus the cornerstone of my life? And so that, because in the end, we always want the scripture to be applicable to our lives. And then we're going to embark on this series for the next couple of months, maybe into summer, just going through the scriptures and saying, who is Jesus? And how is he the cornerstone of my life? All right, so you ready for that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so excited today as we begin to turn our eyes once again upon Jesus. And Father, our prayer is that as we look at Jesus, as we study his life in the scriptures, that Father God, our lives would be transformed by the knowledge that we gain. Lord, that knowledge wouldn't just stay in our brains, but would truly, Lord, travel to our hearts. And that we would have hearts after you. Lord, both as individuals, but also as a church, Lord God, that we as a church family, Lord, would be marked by your image. And by your presence in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I want to turn to the scripture. Thank you to the media team. I just came across that little fact and threw it to them. And they got it in. We love our media team. Let's give a media team a hand. Because usually the only time we see the media team is when something messes up, right? Then we're like, where's that media team? What's wrong with them? Don't they know how to work a computer? I know none of you guys think that. That's just me and my brokenness. But I'm going to become more like Jesus because he's the cornerstone of my life. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. It says this, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple of the Lord. And so God's intention in our lives is that we ourselves, each of us individually, would be a dwelling place for Jesus, as it were, a temple for Jesus, his presence to live in. So that we would, wherever we go, we take Jesus to the world around us. And that's what it means for us to be a temple of God individually, that Jesus dwells in us. And so as we, God wants to build us as temples or dwelling places of his presence, we need to understand, how does Jesus being the cornerstone of my life, what does that look like? But the Bible also says that we're being built together as a church family, as a body. We're also being built together because we really, in and of ourselves, we're incomplete images of Christ, but we become more of an image of Christ when we come together as the body of Christ. And so as a church, God is building us together as a temple. And so what does it mean for Jesus to be the cornerstone of this church? And so we're going to be looking at that over the next few weeks and just unpacking what that looks like and starting to put that into practical ways in our church to walk out the word. Because we want to be, as the Bible says, doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, we get easily deceived. So, three questions. What is a cornerstone? The second question is, what is my cornerstone? And the third question is, what does it mean to make Jesus my cornerstone? So, what is a cornerstone? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 says this: therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. And so the cornerstone is the very first, as Bertina said, it's the first stone that's put down, the first stone laid in the construction of a building. It also defines, they put that cornerstone down because that cornerstone is going to define the location of the building, and it's going to also define the orientation of the building. Okay, so what way the building faces and the place where it's laid. It's the most important stone in any construction site, the cornerstone. Because if that cornerstone is not secure, all the rest of the stones are placed into that building in relationship to the cornerstone. And so if the cornerstone is crooked, if the cornerstone is mislaid, then the whole building is going to be out of place. And that's why in our lives, if we want to have the correct orientation of our lives, the correct placement of our lives, we need to be connected to Jesus, the cornerstone. And in the old days, when they would build, make a cornerstone, they had to make sure that cornerstone was exactly oriented the way they wanted to build the building to be oriented. So if they wanted to build a square building, that cornerstone had to be make sure it was a rectangle and perfectly square, because they would line the walls based off of that cornerstone. And if it wasn't square, then the walls would be crooked. Either that or they wouldn't be flush. The stones wouldn't be flush against each other. So this is the importance of a cornerstone. It determines the stability and the longevity of the building. So if the cornerstone is not laid well, then all the rest of the building is going to be shaky. If that cornerstone is shaky, the rest of the building will be shaking because the whole building is tied to that cornerstone. I remember my father was working on did the electrical design for this new set of buildings, the business school at the University of Hawaii. And they had this great idea to make all the buildings kind of look the same. And so they drew up the plans. But what happened was, as they drew up the plans, they got confused over two of the different buildings that kind of looked the same, but were a little different, and they misplaced one of them when they built them. And so they ended up having to tear down that whole building. And so now there's a nice little, like a garden area in the in the business school. Because as they laid it down, they put the wrong foundation for the building. And in our lives, if we don't build solidly, you're gonna start building your life, you're gonna add to it the skills, your job, your wife, your family, the place you live. You add all these things to your life, and if the cornerstone is wrong, then all those other things will be out of whack. So you want to make sure you build solidly. So the cornerstone. But here it says in this scripture, look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. And that's a key word there, foundation stone. For us, it doesn't mean much, okay, they're putting a foundation. But for people in Judaism, that foundation stone had a different meaning. It meant that, that foundation stone was actually a specific stone that was being referred to. And it is the stone underneath the temple that they built the temple upon. And they built the holiest place, the place where the Ark of the Covenant, or the place where the physical representation of God's presence, where they felt God would dwell on earth, was over that foundation stone. And so here we have a picture. This is present day Jerusalem. So this foundation stone, let's go back. Yeah, there you go. It's laid back that one, the other one. There you go. The dot there, the mosque. So you guys are great. They're giving you a sneak preview, so you guys are privileged to know it's coming up. Now you can, in faith, anticipate because you've had a preview. Anyway, so this is the Al-Aqsa Dome. It's the Muslims now control the Temple Mount where the temple used to be, and underneath that dome is the foundation stone. The most holy place in both in the Jewish religion. And so if you look, there's a painting, you can't go in there anymore, but there's a painting, that next slide, is a painting of what it looks like inside there. And so there's this actual stone in the center underneath the mosque, underneath the Dome of the Rock. And that foundation stone is the most important place in the Jewish religion. It's the Jews consider it the center of the universe. This foundation stone. And so now when we talk about Jesus being the foundation stone of Jerusalem, the firm precedent, the precious cornerstone. So this foundation stone is not only the meant to be the cornerstone of the temple, but it's really the cornerstone of all of creation. And all of creation emanates from that place and aligns to that foundation stone, comes from that foundation stone. That foundation stone, they viewed it as being God coming from heaven down to earth and establishing a place, setting that stone as a place where his presence would be and from which the world was created, from which life flowed. So that's the cornerstone of our lives. It not only sets our lives, but it's the place in God's eyes that life flows from. So what is my cornerstone? As I look at myself, Acts chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. When we look at Acts chapter 4, there's this story in the preceding chapters and verses where after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter and John were headed to the temple like they did every day. And there was a crippled man there who had been lame for over 40 years, begging by the temple. I'm not sure why Jesus didn't heal him. I don't know if Jesus never passed him by. Maybe he missed the days that Jesus was coming. But as Peter, John, and John walked past him, they saw this man. He was begging, and they look at him, and they say, and of course, he's looking for money. Like in New York, you have all the homeless people always looking for money. We had a guy right on our block, Sean. Every day we'd walk by him. Hey, Sean, you know, how's it going, guys? And he'd just have his cup there and be there all day long, just waiting for someone to drop money in it. This guy was like that, 40 years crippled, lame. So Peter went up to him and said, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'll give you. In Jesus' name, get up and walk. And the Bible says that he was instantly healed. Picked up the bed he'd been lying on and danced into the temple, because as a lame man, he could never go into the temple. He was excluded, rejected from the temple because of his infirmity. But now for the first time he could come into the temple. And of course, since he was there every day, everybody who went to the temple regularly, they saw this man come in and they're like, that looks like the guy who's always sitting outside the gate. And it caused a stir and an uproar. And so the Pharisees, the religious rulers, were like, what's going on here? What's all this noise? And of course, they're saying, well, this guy was healed. And this guy, the lame man, says, well, Jesus healed me. These guys, they healed me. And they're like, wait. We do that stuff. We're the religious rulers. We're in charge. And they were perturbed by it. So then they said, bring Peter and John here. And they started to scold them for doing that. They said, you can't do these kinds of things. You know, it's not within our frame of reference. We've never seen that done before. And so we're not in control. So it should not be done. And so then he says, Peter responds to their questioning in verse 4. He says, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? He says, is this really why you guys are all angry with us? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Let's go to the next verse. It says, for Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected, you who are claimed to be building the kingdom of God. He says, you rejected him, but now he's become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It goes on to say, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So how do I know who's my cornerstone? Well, where do I go for healing when I discover the brokenness in my life? That's your cornerstone. Where do you go for your salvation? See, Peter's just laying it out. He says, you want to know how this guy was healed? Jesus, the cornerstone. You want to know how to be saved? Only through Jesus, the cornerstone. You want to know where you get wisdom? It says here that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man that you crucified, but God raised from the dead. And so they said they could see that these were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Why? Because their lives were not built on their training. Their lives were built on Jesus, who was the truth. Jesus, who from the foundation of the world was and is the Word. And Jesus was the cornerstone of everything that Peter did that day. So he said everything points back to him. And they said, well, these guys, they're not trained. Where does their wisdom come from? And then I love this last thing that they said. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because something of Jesus rubbed off on them. These guys were identified with Jesus. And so the question comes to us, last of all, you want to know who your cornerstone is. Where's your identity? Where do you find your identity? Is it in your job? Is it in your intellect? Is it in your training? Is it in, you know, the city or state you come from? Where do you get your identity from? God's intention is that you would get it from the cornerstone of your life. That Jesus would be the cornerstone of your life. That Jesus would be the one, when they look at you, they see Jesus. When people walk into our church, we want them to see and taste of Jesus. So that when they see us, they say, as I'm reading and studying the Bible, you guys are like that. The way that Jesus sacrificed his life. The way that he reached out in love and mercy. The way that he, you know, played with the kids. This place, this church reminds me of Jesus. Of the stories I read about him. That's our desire. That's what it means for Jesus to be the cornerstone of our lives. And the cornerstone of our church. So we ask ourselves and say, you know, at work, when people look at me, do they see something of Jesus? They might not even know Jesus, but if they were to start to read the stories of Jesus' life, would they say, wow, that guy at work, he acts a lot like Jesus did. My neighbor acts a lot like Jesus. He's always talking about Jesus. When he faces problems, he goes to Jesus. The wise things that he does, he always gives credit to Jesus. His wisdom, his healing, his salvation, his identity flows from Jesus. That's the goal of our lives. That's why we study the Word, because we want to know, what was Jesus like? That's why we pray, because we say, Father, make me like Jesus. That's our prayer for our church. When you pray for the church, you say, Lord, help our church be more like Jesus. So that when people come here, that's who they meet. When people talk about this place, that's what they'll talk about. That Jesus is there. That's what it means for Jesus to be our cornerstone. Because every other identity will fail. There'll come a time when, you know, if you're a pro athlete, you'll stop being a pro athlete. There'll come a time where if you're a business leader, you'll stop being a business leader. There'll be a time when you won't be the smartest person in the room. There'll be a time when you won't be, the good the best looking person or the most athletic. Everything else that you put your identity in will fail. But Jesus, his love, we talked about last week, his love never fails. So that's why we build our life on Jesus as the cornerstone. And so what does it mean to make Jesus my cornerstone? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Says this, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And so how do we make Jesus? What does it mean to make Jesus our cornerstone? First of all, there's a choosing. You have to choose it. You want to choose it, because the Bible says in another scripture, it says, if you fall on the cornerstone, if you choose to fall on the cornerstone, you'll be bruised. But if the cornerstone falls on you, you'll be obliterated. You'll be crushed. Why? Because Jesus, the cornerstone, who he is, all of us will have to reckon with. Whether in this life now or in the life to come, all of us will be faced with the reality of who Jesus truly is. We can ignore him for all of our lives, but eventually we will confront the fact that Jesus is the truth and every word that he spoke is true. The sad thing will be is if we don't embrace that fact and don't confront that fact while living this life, while we still have a chance to adjust our lives and embrace Jesus' love. Because once we pass, the Bible says, into eternity, then the truth will judge us. The Bible says you have one life to live. Scripture is very clear that in reality, incarnation is not reincarnation, is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says you live one life, and what you do with it will then be judged. And there's no do-overs. There's no, wait, let me make up. There's no makeup tests, no makeup exams. It's this life alone. And yes, choosing Jesus can cause sacrifice. It forces sacrifice in our lives. But those sacrifices are small, so small in comparison to the favor of God that comes into our lives through embracing him. And so much better, those sacrifices, especially so much smaller than the crushing that will come if you end up being judged by the truth of who Jesus is after this life is done. So I'd encourage you, embrace him now. Choose Jesus. You are coming to Christ. This is a choice you must make. Jesus came to us 2,000 years ago. He chose to lay down his life for us. He's already set the table and said, here's how much I love you. Here's the love that you will always experience if you come to me. I'm going to lay down my life for you. But now it's up to us to choose how we respond to Christ. And we can either come to him or reject him. Christ has chosen you, but you must choose him. Goes on that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. It says, Jesus is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Jesus is the living cornerstone, but then the Bible goes on to say we are living stones. In other words, if we're going to be built into the temple, the dwelling place of God, we as the living stones must align ourselves with Jesus, the living cornerstone. If we want our lives to last, every shaking, we have to be connected to that cornerstone, because that cornerstone is what's going to hold us. It's what's going to set us during the times of shaking that come into our lives. And all of us will face shaking in our lives, especially if you live in Taiwan. Earthquakes all the time. You know, here, when they build buildings, they have to take into account the earthquakes. And technology is, you know, has made our buildings pretty secure. But there come times when there are earthquakes that are just going to go beyond what technology can handle. But there is no earthquake that will go beyond what Jesus, the cornerstone, can handle. He is designed to withstand every shaking in our lives. You know, it's fascinating because in our lives, every weight that we carry, Jesus, if we're built right, all that weight is actually transferred through the other stones, the bricks of the building, to the cornerstone. When a building is designed right, that foundation carries the weight of the whole rest of the building. And so you need to set that stone right, that cornerstone. And Jesus is the only one that's set right for any amount of weight. In fact, it's interesting when you go to Jerusalem in the temple, if you go underneath the temple, there are these huge stones beneath the temple, the one remaining wall of the original temple that go down to the cornerstone, to the foundation. One of these stones that they've uncovered, this goes several layers down, so they haven't uncovered the bottom layers yet. But just one of the stones is actually resting several layers on the cornerstone. This stone is 40 feet, 40, 40 feet long, 14 feet deep, and 12 feet tall. One stone. Archaeologists still have no clue how they moved it there. And there's no in the temple, it was required that once you had to carve that thing in the quarry. Once it got to the temple site, no tools were to be used on that stone. It had to be as it was cut. And so every stone had to be cut to exactly fit together because they used no cement. They just laid those stones one on top of another. And when they tried to tear the temple down, this 40-foot stone, they couldn't. So that one's still there. They tried to break it. They tried to tear it. They couldn't. So above that 40-foot stone, there's all the stones that have been put on in future years after that. But that 40-foot stone is part of the original stones because they could not tear it down. It's the weight of two jumbo 747s. The weight of 200 elephants. So imagine, I don't even know how they move that thing, but then to set it perfectly in place. But the cornerstone has to bear that weight for the temple to stand. And in your life, if you set Jesus as the cornerstone, he will carry every weight. But we, as living stones being built together as a temple, need to be connected to the cornerstone, Christ, the cornerstone, the foundation stone. There's an ancient poem. It's written off of, it's an interpretation of scripture, but it talks about this foundation stone. It's called a midrash, which is not actual scripture, but it's the Jewish theologians would write these poems based off of scripture. And it says this: as the navel is set in the center of the human body, so is the land of Israel, the navel of the world, situated in the center of the world, and Jerusalem in the center of the land of Israel, and the sanctuary in the center of Jerusalem, and the holy place in the center of the sanctuary, and the ark in the center of the holy place, and the foundation stone before the holy place, because from it the world was founded. And so this is how Jews viewed Jesus, the cornerstone. That first stone that was dropped from heaven to be the connecting place between heaven and earth. And that was around the foundation stone the temple was to be built, because our lives are to be built around the presence of God. And now we are the temple to carry, to be that connecting place between heaven and earth. That's our purpose here, is that everywhere we go, we carry a little bit of the character of heaven. The peace and the joy of heaven. The purposes of heaven. The countenance and light of heaven. So everything that Jesus talks to us and commands us to be as we walk through these next few weeks and talk about who Jesus is, the bread of life, the great shepherd, we're going to look at his nature as the living cornerstone and say, how does that now affect us as the living stones connected to him? The scripture goes on to say, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. If Jesus is your cornerstone, then you trust him in every instance of your life, especially in those moments when you think this could go really badly. Those are the moments when you say, I'm going to trust what Jesus says. Because the Bible says, if you trust him, you will never be disgraced. You will never be shamed. And I love this, that it says about Jesus, he says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And there's something in the human soul that loves that story. Why do we all love the story of the rejected person who becomes the princess? Cinderella, right? The most popular Disney story of all time. Let's go, there you go. Cinderella. Why is it the most popular story? It's because it's this, everybody loves a story of being a reject. And then finding not only just acceptance, but royalty. There's something inside of us that just, we long for that. When we see it, we identify with it. Even from little kids, kid time. I mean, we went on a Disney cruise, right? And you go on a Disney cruise, and there's all the princesses and princes are walking around in costume, you know. And every little girl wants gets their princess, you know, costume on, and there's just a line of them following Cinderella or following, you know, Belle around or following, you know, all the different Disney characters. Why? Because there's, from a young age, we just identify with, there's something inside of us. We don't even have to be taught that. It's just inside of us. Why? Because it's the story of the gospel. It's the story of Jesus from rejection to exaltation. And it's God's intention for us that though on this earth we live under the weight of sin and with humility and sometimes finding rejection as followers of Christ, when we do the right thing and get rejected for it, the reason why we can still love those that reject us just like Jesus did is because we know the end of the story. Just like Jesus knew the end of the story. That's what allows us to love our enemies. And so the more that we become like Jesus, the more that we get his stories, and the guys too, yeah, we got Beauty and the Beast. We got it up there. You know, we all like, you know, I'm the ugly guy. No girl's ever going to like me, but yeah, we're going to wait for the beauty to choose the beast. And then we're going to turn into the prince, right? And there's just something inside of us, right? Every guy wants it's the story. This is what we want to do. This is what it means for Jesus to be the cornerstone of our lives. That the ways that he lived, the ways that he gave his life, the way that the Bible says he was wounded, he was pierced for our transgressions. And in your life and mine, there's a place at which we as a church and as individuals, we're going to have to say, okay, Jesus, I'm willing to make the sacrifices, to take the steps. I'm willing to embrace some of the pain that comes with following you. Because there are sacrifices that need to be made. There are times when, I don't know about you, but I don't like all of the things that Jesus asked me to do. But God says, if you do that, and God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't already gone there before. And that's why it's so important that we stay connected to the cornerstone. I think that last, do we have that black and white picture of the stone? Maybe throw that one back up. There you go. This is an actual black and white photo of the foundation stone in the mosque, the dome of the mosque. And this stone is known as the foundation stone. Muslims call it the noble stone. But another name that they have for it is the pierced stone. Because if you look on the top left-hand corner there, there's a little dark hole in the rock. And it's a hole that goes all the way through the foundation stone to a little cavern underneath it. And so people thought, the historians think that maybe that's where they hid the Ark of the Covenant when raiders would come. But there's this hole that goes right through the stone. And I love that because Jesus, our foundation stone, is also the pierced stone, who was wounded for our sin, our brokenness so that we could experience healing, so that we could experience salvation. And he invites us to come. And just like Peter and John said, there's healing in, there's salvation in no other name. And healing comes through the power of that name. And so today, as we close, today I'm going to invite the team to come on up, the worship team. And we're just going to respond to the Lord in song. Just a declaration of Jesus as our cornerstone, that he, in his name alone, there's healing, there's salvation. And we're going to invite you just to pray this simple prayer with me. I'm going to ask God for healing. I'm going to ask God for forgiveness of our sins. And as I pray this prayer, I'm just going to invite you to agree with me in this prayer. Father, you see us here today. Lord, you know each one here who, Lord, may have brokenness in an area of their life. It might be a broken body, physical brokenness. God, there might be emotional brokenness in their lives. There might be broken dreams or broken relationships. Lord God, present here amongst us today. And Lord, we're coming to you, Lord, for the healing that only comes through the power of your name. Father, I pray that you would minister healing to us today. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus, who the pierced stone, who was wounded for our sins, was pierced for our transgressions. And God, we ask you that by the power of that blood, that wounding, Lord God, that you would forgive us of our sins. That your blood would wash, Lord God, the stain of the sin away, that we would come, and Lord God, our identity would be not in our sin, but in you, Lord God. We would repent and turn from our sins. And instead of following the way of sin, but Lord, we would follow you and make you truly Lord of our lives. So I ask you, Lord, to come into my life. Be my cornerstone. Be the stone around which I build my life and upon which I base my life. Forgive my sin. Be Lord of my life. And Father, I pray that in the ways that I live, the ways that I speak, the things that I do, Father God, may we as a church, and may I individually, be a reflection of you, my cornerstone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and worship.